This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Just got a free coffee with my EarniFi points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarniFi app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnifiRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.
Back. Let me move my mic over here. We're back. Welcome back to the B-List, guys. I'm B. I am here with a special guest. I'm really excited to have her here. We followed each other for a bit on Instagram, but we've never conversed. We've just watched each other from across.
Admiring from afar.
Yeah. She's an author, a podcaster, co-founder and chief brand officer, of Betches Media Company. Award-winning daily news podcast was the morning announcements. But then you also have the other podcast, right? Is it called just Betches?
American Fever called... Dream.
Okay,
so I have
yeah.
three. I have three podcasts. Yeah. So I have At Betches, which I host with my two co-founders, Aileen and Jordana. And on that one, we're really just kind of shooting the shit. Pop culture, and then a longer form news podcast that I host with V Spear, aka Under the Desk News, if you've ever seen her on TikTok.
Yeah, for sure.
Amazing. So that's called American Fever Dream. And in that show, what we're really doing is we're trying to analyze the fever dream that is living in America right now, which only proves to be more and more the case. So, you know, I'm really focused mostly on news, obviously, with, you know, the daily news podcast and American Fever Dream. And then with my co-founders, pop culture, because, you know, even Betches News itself and, you know, my approach has always been that pop culture and politics and news are really not as separate as I think people assume.
They're not, especially as we get like further and further into the 2020s. It's like it's all
that's kind of
what we'll discuss too, I'm sure, in a couple.
Yeah, I mean, it's led to like a memeified political system, which with like all the problems and none of the benefits of the information. So our mission at Betches News and, you know, that I have with my podcasts is, and my pretty much my social media is making it easier for people to consume that information.
Yeah. I think that's what you guys do really the best. Obviously, I follow you for a while and for a good reason. If you guys don't know Betches, which I mean, if you don't, then you probably wouldn't be listening to this podcast. You know? So, by the way, I didn't even say your name. It's Sammy Sage, guys.
Oh, hi.
Yeah. So
I didn't even realize that.
It's like the middle of the day on Friday, guys. I'm like, I gave my all on Tuesday and that was like, yeah,
and it's a 3-day weekend, so it's even more.
Oh wait, is it a 3-day weekend?
Monday is Indigenous People / Columbus Day.
Okay, true. Yeah, I work like all of the time, so I don't even know what day of the week.
Yeah,
is.
Me too.
I'm like, you get it. Yeah,
but I do because I do host the nightly podcast. Having Sunday night off is exciting. It comes out in the morning, but I do it at night.
Yeah.
And having Sunday night off is wonderful.
Yeah. Real quick, I mean, I guess you could take off any day because we control the weather, apparently.
Yeah, I mean,
you know that we can control the weather?
Look, I am glad to, you know, I haven't gotten my weather controller machine yet.
I know, I'm waiting for my controller to come in the mail.
So I don't personally feel like I have any control in this situation, but I don't know. Like, those were some pretty cool northern lights last night, no?
I know, the dims definitely did that.
Yeah,
send them to some battleground states.
Yeah, next thing you know, it's just going to say Kamala in Aurora Borealis font.
Yeah. How are you feeling about the election right now? I mean, obviously there's so many emotions. It's only been she's only been running for like 81 days, I want to say.
I'm feeling good about the voting part of the election. I think that Kamala Harris will win both the popular vote, and I think she will win the Electoral College. My concern is with the extra, things outside of the voting, the state governments that are already, they've filed so many lawsuits to try to get people removed from the voter rolls, to make it harder to vote, to make it harder to certify. And I'm really worried about the politicization of the certification, and both in Congress and in each of the states. But I do want to inform all of everyone about one thing, which is that January 6th is the day again of the certification, like we saw last time. Whether that is able to go forward will depend on which party controls the House, because the Speaker of the House is determinant of that.
And
And
right now it's Mike Johnson, so
So right now it's Mike Johnson. So it is critical that everyone votes down ballot for Democrats if they want to have a smooth transition of power. Whether or not you are a Democrat, or you identify as a Democrat, or you even believe in the policies, like, policies are not going to be a conversation anymore if there is not a smooth transition of power. So that is one thing. And then everyone, please tell everyone about this, because it's, I don't know if, I think people are rightfully concerned with voting on election day, or even go vote now. The election has started.
I implore everybody to do early voting because not only is it convenient for you, you get it out of the way. You kind of, as if you live in some of these battleground states where like Michigan, last time they had like people with guns in some places. If you're worried about any kind of issues like that, I say just vote by mail, get it done early while you still can. And it also gives a lot of really important data to the Democratic Party to understand who is voting, how they're voting, what it's looking like, and where they need to expend more energy and budget in the month lead up.
I recommend voting in person early if you can, but if you have to do mail, obviously, okay. But earliest is better. And exactly what you said about, how they're going to allocate resources. And it's just, I would say in general, like, there's so much effort to suppress the vote that voting ASAP is important. And then letting everyone know about these issues that might arise with the certification. And even like West Virginia just filed a bill that basically was like, we're not going to recognize the winner of the election if there are states that are alleging voter fraud. The language of the bill is up for
That was early this week, I believe.
interpretation.
It was like Monday.
It was the other day. And like, they're laying the seeds for illegal and violent militia coup, like they started last, round, last election. So those are the things I'm worried about. But, so
The real
bleak.
fight
Such a,
starts after November 5th,
yeah.
but I do believe that we will win. And it's not just my kind of blind optimism. I think that polling, I don't really follow polling, I follow trends. And I think what's happening in the electorate this time around, what's different than 2016 and 2020, because obviously Donald Trump brought out a large contingent of like young men that didn't vote before. Now it's complete other swing. There are overwhelmingly young women that are registering to vote, especially like non-white women. And polling doesn't always capture all of those newly registered voters. So you're seeing that it's kind of more even. That doesn't mean that we should be complacent, but I think people should have a little breathe a sigh of relief, just knowing that women are going to once again save us, especially Black women.
I mean, the polling, like, I feel similarly to you about that for a number of reasons. And not the least of which is that the people who put out the polls, even though a lot of people are just averaging them, like, or to analyze them, they are all pulled by different incentives. So I just don't see how that is a better metric than, let's say, the fact that Donald Trump cannot fill a stadium in Pennsylvania and Kamala Harris can. And this is happening all around the country. Also, you know, I never was one who's like, oh, lawn signs are indicative of much. But like, I remember there were so many more for Donald Trump. And now there's, and I live in a red area. So there were, and there are signs for like,
do you mind if you say, where do you, what state do you, I didn't even ask.
I live in New York. Yeah. Okay, I live in New York on Long Island. So, okay, but in a red part of Long Island, or a county, that's red. So, and it, you know, you can just see like there's not as much enthusiasm, not to mention that the past, call it three elections, 2022, 2020, and 2018, in all of those elections, especially since so, you know, those main elections, and then you see the smaller elections like throughout the country, and also like ballot referendums, but even like local things like special elections or referendums where abortion is on the ballot
in Kansas,
Kansas. Exactly. The trend is pretty much all towards Democrats with the exception of a few house races in New York in 2022.
That's its own,
which is its own issue. Its own unique demographic situation. Yeah, I think that the trends are undeniable, but again, like this isn't, the Democrats are not up against a party that is trying to win by turning out their vote, you know, by necessarily persuading more people to their side or playing fair. They're trying to win by stopping other people from voting, sabotaging, you know, other efforts, and then of course relying on foreign interference that they are happy to play into.
I mean, the Democrats are playing chess, but the Republicans are literally eating the chess pieces.
So, exactly. That's a great analogy.
Though Kamala's been on a real media blitz tour, right, the past week, which is great because everyone's been complaining, oh, we don't see enough of her, we don't see enough of her. Well, I mean, this week alone, what, she was on Howard Stern, call her daddy, The View, Univision last night. She did a town hall. She's doing the Breakfast Club. Well, I think Charlamagne the God, but that's under the the umbrella of. She's doing some other. I forget. There's so many appearances, right, that you could choose from, and it's really touching all of these different demographics. Like Howard Stern is a very specific type of demographic that's going to reach than The View, and Call Her Daddy is, I think, which is think was genius. Have you seen all of these? What do you think?
I've seen everything except for Univision since that was just last night. And what else? Obviously, Charlamagne the God, I don't think has aired yet.
It hasn't. It was just announced today. So I think it's going to be sometime next week.
Okay. I think that this is exactly what she needs to be doing. All of those, all those appearances touch on a group, you know, groups that she needs to win. And the other thing is that I thought the Howard Stern interview was her best. That was the best I've ever heard her in her whole career. And I've
been really
following her for And I've been following her for more than 15 years at this point, like when she was the attorney general. And I felt like that was such a great he makes all of his interviewees come across great because he's really good at getting to like the humanity of someone.
Yeah.
And I think that if I were to say to someone who's really not sure, like, how do you think about this person? How does this person think about things and who are they as a person? That's what I would point to.
Yeah. I agree. I thought it was a great interview. The 60 Minutes being my least favorite, I think. Call Her Daddy had great moments.
Yeah, I think Call Her Daddy was exactly what it needed to be. Yeah. I think that the way they addressed the range of topics they addressed within the broader discussion of reproductive rights is so, I mean, that's what that audience is, you know, cares about. I mean, it's a sexually liberated audience. And I don't know if people always, you know, choice, I think, is obvious. You know, I want to have the choice to do what I want with my body. But I think what people don't really necessarily put together is that, and this wasn't even like the main message before Roe was overturned, people don't necessarily put together that like there might come a time when you might need mifepristone or misoprostol, not because you want to end a pregnancy, because you need it for treatment. Or you might need contraception because you need to treat something unrelated to whether you'll have a baby or not. And they want to be able to control your health. They want to be able to control your medical treatment. The, in Project 2025, they want to make it so that they want to not allow people, women of childbearing age, to receive chemotherapy if they have cancer, because it will impact your reproductive system. Like, they want to be able to control your being. And even I just, don't know. Yeah, exactly.
Even just
beyond who you have sex with.
And even just down to the IVF part too, because it's the complete, now you're actually messing with people that want to start families, not just like in pregnancies and deal with all of these other litany of health concerns that might come with reproductive, you know?
Right. Issues. The idea that it, the idea that this is about life or families is just so disingenuous. And it, I know that I sound so partisan and alarmist to some people.
I don't. And not to me.
I know not to you, but I know that when, that like, there are definitely are people who are like, no way, it's that crazy. And I assure you it is.
Yes.
Yeah, I wish it wasn't, but one of the things that has come from the fact that I've been, you know, obviously following news and politics my whole life, but the past 4 years, every single day I have done a news podcast. And as a result of that, I've read, you know, I read the homepages of eight different, and, you know, all of Twitter, it's like of eight different new publications a day. And like, obviously not everything, it's not like I'm just reading what goes into the show.
Yeah.
So my landscape of what's going on is just full of the context. And I assure you, they will make it impossible for people to get IVF. They want to institute something called fetal personhood, where your just conceived zygote has the same rights under the 14th Amendment as you, the person.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, so it's, should we move on to some more fun conversation?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, you make great points all across the board. Well, you know, Kamala has policies that she's going to implement that are going to protect those kind of the reproductive rights. What she doesn't really have a policy for, though, is how are we going to silence Bethany Frankel?
Oh, my God. Oh, what?
How do we, how do we take? So if you guys haven't been following, I down the such a dark rabbit hole of TikTok. I loved her when she was on Real Housewives of New York. She was one of my favorite housewives ever. But the this version of Bethany that has started with TikTok, and I was kind of into it at first because I think she is good at trolling and being in that space. She's mastered it, right? It was cringy at first. I mean, it's still cringy, but like she's made an entire lane for herself. But if you guys haven't been following, now she is berating Kamala for her Call Her Daddy interview, calling her a pick-me. She said that she's a pick-me for going on Call Her Daddy to try to be one of the cool kids. She was criticizing Kamala's appearance on Call Her Daddy because it took place during, or it was kind of between Helene and Milton hurricanes. But it's like, but she was boots on the ground. Also, Donald Trump was at a football game in Alabama the other day, too. So what are we doing here?
Also, Kamala, Alex Cooper posted that Kamala had rescheduled the original interview because
for 6 hours
hurricane. No, I think it was like they moved it to a different day.
Oh, day. Okay. I thought it was
day
hours,
entirely. But because she had to like she had to go to DC. Florida. So it, and she also did travel.
It's
that is like, so honestly, I can't understand whether she really believes the thing she's saying.
Or just doing it for clicks. And that's what's really disingenuous about the whole situation is.
But she used to be great. Like, remember Be Strong? Like,
Whatever happened to that by the way?
Why are you like crusading for yourself to be recognized at the Hermes store? Like, what is that doing?
Around Swamp Farms. Like, leave these people alone.
Oh, that was one of her most embarrassing. She's like, you don't know how much of this tuna shit I buy. It's like, is that what she was saying?
Chicken salad.
Chicken salad, right.
Which I kind of get because I love chicken salad too. I get it, Bethany. But
right, but like you're not, you didn't make the chicken salad. Like you don't get credit for buying the most. What's wrong with you?
Like, I notice a pattern of where she's one of those people. She's created one thing, right? The skinny girl margarita. Mm-hmm. But she's somebody who thinks that anytime she's involved in maybe marketing something or pushing something further, that she wants to take automatic credit for it. I think that's why she resented Bravo after she left. She was like, well, I was really, you know, I was taken advantage of and da da da. And then she talks about like something as simple as the chicken salad. It's like, no one told you to go buy a chicken salad and do a review of it. So if Ron Swamp Farms doesn't want to like, what are you talking? Like, what are we doing? Right. Don't make it's your margaritas.
I mean, the behavior is so,
yeah,
it's yeah. so embarrassing. That's yeah. actually, I almost feel like there has to be something else going on that, yeah. that it's like, yeah. if you knew,
yeah,
I feel bad for her daughter that she has to
film these videos. Someone's filming them.
Or just, I just don't think this is like a good model for how to conduct yeah. yourself. And well, first I don't off, know why just, she's doing it.
I mean, it's just as simple as when you go into a store or a public space and immediately start filming people. That's weird in and of itself. You're filming someone that's no one asked to be on your TikTok. Leave people alone.
Right. And remember when she was eating the stone crabs?
On the floor of her Atlanta
That's
hotel
just
room.
Like how I picture her now. Yeah. That's my like oily face for Bethany Frankel yeah. right now.
Yeah.
Or her walking angrily into the Hermes store or Chanel store. Yes. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. You didn't. Mm-hmm. Does she think that tactic's going to work with them?
I have no idea.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Transform your home in one weekend with paint from Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boys Forever Interior Paint and Primer in One offers powerhouse protection with its stain-blocking, odor-reducing technology. And with Dutch Boys Easy Opening Smooth Pouring Container, transforming your home has never been easier. View our entire selection of Dutch Boy paint on Menards.com. Plus the weekly flyer and other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Speaking of conservative women, it's been a bad month for them. They've lost a lot of their idols. Taylor, Call Her Daddy.
Yeah.
They are shaking in their...
Look, just because they're blonde doesn't mean they want to be housewives.
Yeah.
In Ron DeSantis's white boots.
Yeah, right. Are you watching the new Roni, the new Real Housewives?
I am.
What do you think about it? You know, there's been a lot of blowback online about it. I'll wait till I hear your... response.
I like how bad it is. I'm like not that upset about the fact that it's not great. I don't care that much.
I was literally saying the exact same thing you said. I was talking to my friend Sel. Shout out Sel. Yeah. You guys should check out her podcast, Who Asked Sel. I was telling her, I was like, I don't care that it's boring. I will watch these women do something or do nothing all day long. I like that it's boring. It's just kind of like, oh. They're just like chic and cute and they're getting brunch and they're not like screaming a lot. And it's.
Well, I almost wish that like, okay, if you think about it as like, okay, this is an attempt to be like Roni. When you think mm-hmm. about it that way, mm-hmm. when you think about that way, it's like, okay, this sucks in comparison. But when you think about it as the women who are trying to step into being this iconic show and you're watching yeah. them be so self-conscious about it and so like hyper aware yeah. of the fact that they're on camera and who they are and who their husbands are and all their flaws. And they're like so actively trying to hide them. When you think about it from that perspective, it's actually super interesting because you're watching more something dynamic. Else. Yes. Yeah. And that's the perspective I'm watching it with, which is why I think I'm not that bored.
It's also not lost on me that I think half the cast works in PR or worked in PR at some point. And I think that's really interesting. Jessel has a career in PR, as does Bryn. So, I mean, obviously these women are going to be kind of already really cerebral in a different way. Like they're just as smart as the original cast, but just a little more, I think, level.
They grew up more online and also knowing what the housewives are and what opportunities it can offer you. And I mean, even like the ones who aren't necessarily, didn't necessarily work in PR, clearly are people who understand PR intimately, like Jenna Lyons and Erin too. They are all like,
After almost two decades of these shows, you're only going to naturally have a class of now women, not speaking from a class system, but you get what I'm saying, a freshman class of these women that are coming in watching all of these shows before. It's kind of like, and this goes perfectly into what I was going to talk about next, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which is, I always think of not really a housewife show, but like a deconstructed version of a housewife show. It's kind of like a Twin Peaks, like it's like David Lynch version, where it's just like, it's nothing. It's like weird, like Salt Lake City. It's like, you never know what time of year it is. It's just
like
always
hyper
snowing.
Camp.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just like their idea of what a housewife is supposed to be, but it's performative, but it doesn't bug me at all. It works because it's just so zany. And I think that.
And that is so emblematic of like Utah.
Yeah.
It works. Like it works for the place it's set. That is the energy of Salt Lake City. So I feel similarly to you that it, we've seen housewife shows. You're still getting the fighting. And we've also had the most iconic finale ever from that show.
Let's
acknowledge that.
Yeah.
And it's like the whole show breaks the fourth wall in some way.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's still like, who knows when, how long it'll ride kind of like the wave of the pop culture zeitgeist. But I feel like right now, just keep being nutty. And like Angie K, you're never going to make me hate her. I'm so sorry, you guys. She's an iconic housewife. Anybody else would do a scroll or the glasses, and it would just feel, but there's something so earnest about her. I think she was doing an interview with Bryce Sanders. Shout out Bryce. It's a lot of shout outs today. But Bryce Sanders, she did an interview with him, and he was like, oh, you're holding center Snowflake this year. How do you feel about that? She's like, I cried. And she was being earnest about the fact that she like had no idea she was going to be center Snowflake and cried. And I was like, there's just something so earnest about this woman. And bring back earnest housewives who are just, okay, it's okay that you watched the show before and you want to do a good job, but it's not like coming from a nasty place. You're just kind of a little quirky and corny. And I love it. You know,
she's almost like a less dark Shannon Bedore, where they can't hide it if they tried.
Okay. Yeah. In that sense. Yeah. But wait, tonally very different. Yeah.
Totally. But I mean, it's like less like Shannon Bedore is like totally different, but it's like,
we'll get into her.
It's like, you're really seeing them.
Yeah, no, for sure. I feel that way with a lot of the Salt Lake City cast. I feel like Mary, I'm so happy she's back. Whatever they're paying her, it's money well spent. She is ziplining. She's going on trips. She's hugging people. She's doing hip hop dance classes. I love
it. Fascinating human being.
Yes. Everything that comes out of her mouth is like more add to the lore of this like crazy. She needs her own true crime series. Like,
yeah. Like just a documentary about Mary. I would watch just.
There's something about Mary.
Something in her house. Yeah. Just watch her in her house.
Yeah.
Did you watch The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives?
I did not. I tried. I think I was last episode of this podcast. I was talking about it. And I was like, I really tried. They're just not fabulous enough, and it's not as tongue-in-cheek, and I don't need rich housewives.
It's not your thing.
It's just not my thing. It's like a little too serious and dark.
Well, I asked because I asked because it was interesting to me to watch Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to say that title right shortly before this new Salt Lake City season aired. And I just found that to be like interesting context, having watched The Secret Lives of just a understanding more about the culture, especially because now you're watching like Britney be weird about this friend and
the new
Lisa
girl.
Barlow. Girl Britney, and like Lisa Barlow called out and you know, well, Heather said this a lot, how the whole like culture is sort of centered around
men
pleasing men. And I think it was Heather who said, like, you can't get into heaven
without being married.
If you're not married, but you can if you, but you, you can get into heaven without children, but you can't without a husband. And seeing those two like series back to back, especially because that's what a lot of Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, what I took from it was like the centrality of men just in every way. So I don't, those were just two like, so it's kind of interesting seeing Brittany and also Bronwyn like with that new context.
That I mean, that would be interesting. I feel like the show originally started, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City originally started kind of with the Mormon overarching theme, right? Is religion, but we kind of gotten away from that a bit. But it is interesting when they do bring it up, because I forget sometimes that we are all Mormon. Well, not all of them. I mean, what? They're different varying degrees. Heather was excommunicated. Lisa's a practicing LDS, but kind of like a really fluid.
I think they'd call her like a Jack Mormon.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they're not all Mormon, but they all
Mary's Pentecostal,
even if they're
right?
Not, and then Meredith is getting bat mitzvahed, which loved. That. What a lovely time for Meredith to be, you know, a proud Jew. I'm very excited about that. But what I think, even if they're not practicing, it's also because they're from Salt Lake City and because a lot of them grew up in and around it, I think that like it can't be separated from the way they act, because like even they talk about how they are, they have trauma from it, or, you know, it's, I feel like it's always the backdrop of their, the way they see each other.
Yeah.
Kind of, with the exception of Meredith.
I find Salt Lake City to be one of the deepest Housewives franchises currently, just because they do really dive into women's dynamics as they pertain to or relate to like the way they treat men in their lives, the way that their mothers, and like a lot of them talk about how like they have strained relationships with their own mothers. Mary's kind of hinted at that. I think that's going to probably come up more in the season. I just feel like the whole way the show is crafted is like different than any other show. It's so good. It really is the best reality show on TV, I think.
You do.
I do.
What is the best reality show on TV?
I find
maybe definitely
it's up there. Yeah. In my
world. Good show. It's because it's not just the fighting.
Yeah.
If you think about Beverly Hills as like,
it's just
that's kind of your epitome of a housewife show.
Yeah. It says a lot.
Yeah.
Sorry if someone's listening and Beverly Hills is their favorite, but
I do like it. But
are you watching OC?
No, I haven't been, but I will go back and watch it eventually. I will eventually like binge it. That's kind of how I've done
it. It is a really
good
season.
Yeah, that's how I've done the OC, is I've just always like saved it and then come back to it.
Shannon Bedore is someone who is definitely cursed, or she did something in her past life. I don't know. She's never had one good season as a housewife. She is, just to catch you up, because I mean, she's being sued by her ex-boyfriend, and her ex-boyfriend is now dating her castmate.
I know
they're
that.
Suing her for $75,000. Shannon Bedore is going on Jeff Lewis Live and talking openly. I've never seen someone speak so publicly and so often about an ongoing legal matter. I don't know who could be counseling her, but
that's what I mean. Like, everything's on the table with Shannon Bedore, and it has been since like the moment she entered the zeitgeist. Like, she's never been, even when she was trying to like hide her bad marriage, she couldn't.
Yeah. She's a perfect reality star. She's not my favorite by any means, but I'm glad that she's here. You need housewives like her.
I also, I do think OC has the highest concentration of like perfect reality stars. Tamra Judge to me is your prototype. She is the mold, actually.
Yeah, literally.
Like Vicky, people would say, but I think Vicky's like a little too wacky. Obviously she's a great housewife, but Tamra Judge is the mold of a housewife.
And Vicky has like this weird like hierarchy thing in her head where it's just like, not, I think Tamra is still plays nice with new people if they come on. And And she's still, and Tamara's still, there's something that feels very tangible or like real about Tamara. She feels like she still lives in kind of like this, like almost base model, like OC house with like the stucco. And like, there's something feels really real about her. She's wearing like yoga pants and
that's what I mean.
It doesn't feel like a reality star. It feels kind of just like a trashy woman. Sorry, Tamara. I love Tamara.
She just shows up for, she shows up for work every time.
Yeah.
And that, you know, there's no like, Tamara's not a problem. I mean, she's a problem, but she's not like a problem for the show being executed.
Yeah, no, she gets
she's the, only gets the helping job done. Things happen. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
MVP.
MVP. Going back real quick to Roni, I didn't even ask you though. Do you have like anyone favorite on there? People are kind of turning on Bryn, I think.
I like, it's too, I haven't seen enough of any of them to have a genuine favorite. I actually think that they're nearly all interesting enough for me to watch.
Yeah.
I wish Uba was like a little more involved in the drama. Bryn, I think, was maybe the most exciting for me to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she will continue to be. But I think that they're, you know, Jessel was obviously like really funny. Yeah. They're not really showing her as much this time. I'm excited to see what happens with Rebecca Minkoff, and the Scientology stuff.
Right.
It's not looking great.
She feels flat for me, but
she feels flat. And obviously, I'm extremely invested in Aaron and Abe's issues.
I was just going to say, Aaron, I did not gravitate towards last season, but the more I kind of see her, she is a housewife, capital H. Like in any other city, I think she would be like a great, she is so tightly wound and I can just see her snapping. Like she's, but in that sense, she's a great reality star because you can see this something's bubbling under the surface and there's more to her. But I don't love her, but I enjoy, you know what I mean?
Really enjoy it. Watching her.
Yeah.
I don't know how these two are making it one more season.
I don't know either.
He acted like this was like a casual conversation, like about this Bitcoin. It wasn't just the Bitcoin though. If this were happening, I'd be like, I need a forensic accountant stat for my own finances. Wasn't taken seriously enough. IMO. Maybe she did behind the scenes and she just didn't want to like go crazy on camera. But
the interesting thing about that relationship is that they seem like they have a lot of conversations off camera that they don't want to bring on until he does, you know, but that's what I think is going to be the true meat of the show, you know?
Agreed. That'll be the first like big thing, I think.
Let's head over to the B side because we're getting into 40 minutes. And I want to talk more with you. Do you want to tell the people a bit about your podcast, your podcasts, three of them?
Yes. Well, I told you about American Fever Dream in the beginning, but morning announcements every day, 5 minutes, I give you a rundown of the headlines and you can go forth with a passable working knowledge of what's going on all the time.
Like the daily right?
Way shorter. It's only 5 minutes and they talk about one thing and I talk about 5 to 7 things that are happening, let you know like the key points
like
of them
political
and
playbook.
You're good to go. It's like that, but way more fun and in your ear. And it's called Morning Announcements. You can find it everywhere, wherever you're listening right now.
Do you know what? I used to do the morning announcements in high school.
That's where the title came from. I didn't do them, but that is like kind of what inspired them.
Got it.
It started with me just doing them on my Instagram story, but that's where you should definitely tune in. It's just a super easy listen.
Yeah. You guys know where to listen to me. If you want to listen to the B side, it's the bonus episode of this. Go to patreon.com/theBList. You can subscribe there. And you're going to hear more of me and Sam. I want to talk with her a bit about, are you watching Love is Blind DC? I'm not, but
I did not start that yet.
Don't even do it. We're going to talk about Halloween costume ideas. I wanted to go over our lists because there are some good ones this week and she has quite a few and we're going to talk about some other things. You guys have the address. Thank you for listening. Leave a rating and review, listen to her podcasts and I'll see you guys on the B side. Bye.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at tanker.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.